scripture of the day comes from Matthew 8, 1 through 4, and you can follow along in the newsletter. All right, let's begin. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh, Father, we thank you so much. We ask for your presence. Lord, as you know, we are we're wrestling with your word and all that it has to do with the good news of who you are and your kingdom in our lives. But as you know, Lord, the world has a way of distracting us, has a way of discouraging us, and it makes us feel often very numb towards the truth of the gospel. So I'm asking you, Father, by your power, the power of your Spirit, will you use the next few minutes as we delve into your word to crack open our hearts and our minds, that we may have some room for you today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Amen? All right, so today's text has to do with the man with the leprosy. He comes down and he kneels before Jesus and he wants to get healed. Very powerful, right? And then we had this little moment where Heidi asked us about the non-negotiables and what are things that we're not willing to give up or give in, you know, when it comes to people that we want to accept or embrace or do life with. So I looked up this book called The Love List. Have you ever heard of this? You have? Okay. The Love List, A Guide to Getting Who You Want. Did you know there was a book like this? National bestseller, okay? Elena Marzello did a study where she interviewed hundreds and hundreds of men and women about what they want in their spouse or their lover. Okay, do you guys want to know what they want? Nobody cares. Okay, it's okay, because I'm going to tell you anyways. Okay, it came down to around 3-4 things. It was really interesting. So she noticed that in women want these traits in a man. Women always want, or often want, and these are their non-negotiables, okay? This is so bad. Oh, man. They want a man with a sense of humor, okay? They want a man who's smart and honest, right? Right. So that disqualifies half of us there, right? And then they want a man who's kind. They want a man who's kind. Isn't that interesting? Like many of us men, we're like, in order to qualify, in order to be in the presence of that woman that I really am attracted to, I need X, Y, and Z. But they actually want these things. They want a sense of humor, smart, honest, and kind. So I want to say, Michael, that you have everything a woman wants. I just want to say you have everything. You have everything that she wants. I hope you guys get married now. If not, we're going to have to edit this and be like, they didn't make it. All right. And then what do men want? Do you guys know what men want? What do men want? It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy, isn't it? What do men want? Men want a sense of humor, too. Isn't that interesting? That's what men want. Men want intelligence and ambition. Isn't that interesting? And then, of course, men want attractiveness. right? So I noticed, Michael, I noticed that I'm everything a man wants. All right. So there are these things. There are these things in our lives that we hold on to, and we're like, you know, these are the things that are non-negotiables. These are things that will give you an access to me or no access to me, right? And I found that the Jews had the same thing. The Jews had a list, and their list is around two, okay? And their whole concern was your status and your condition. Okay, your status and your status with God and your condition as a person. That was their list. Okay, either you were clean or holy. Okay, your status and condition. Okay, either you were clean and holy or you were unclean and unholy. There's a book that's about the book of Leviticus. It says, clean means to be fit for the presence of God, while to be holy means that one belongs to God. Let me say that again. To be clean means to be fit to be in God's presence, and then to be holy, right, means that you actually qualify to belong to God. Okay? Clean, holy, status, and conditions, the non-negotiables in this community, in this faith, that if you were unholy and deemed unclean, you were an outcast. You forget list, forget whatever apps there are now to find other people. You cannot enter God's presence, and you cannot be among God's people. Today we were playing a little game at home. It's called Hot Seat, and there's a deck of cards, and it gives you questions, and it says things like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And if you're in the hot seat, the people in that room that you're playing with guess on your behalf, like, oh, I know what you want to be when you grow up. And then they'll write, and then the person that's in the hot seat will write, and then whoever matches wins that round. Well, our daughter Isabella gets the hot seat card, and the question says, What can't I live without? What can't I live without? And all of us that know Isabella, we were just fast writing. We were like, oh, Isabella cannot live without sweets. Isabella cannot, you know, we all got it right. Like, you know, young Maddie was like, oh, big sister cannot live without sugar, right? And then the mommy said the same thing, and I said candy, and everyone had sweets. And then our interesting boy, Matthew, he goes, I got my answers wrong. And we're like, what did you say that big sister can't live without? And he wrote, love. He's a sweet boy. We can't live without love. We're all longing to be connected to God and each other in a deep and meaningful way. But Scripture says, and the people of God has in their culture, criterias. In the light of that criteria, if you look at Leviticus 13, it talks about who is unclean and who is unholy. In Leviticus 13, it says, anyone with such a defiling disease, and it's talking about skin diseases, okay? Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face. It sounds like COVID, doesn't it? Where I was like, my hair is unkept during COVID, and my lower face was covered, but this is the difference. Their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. Anyone who has a disease, anyone who is a leper, anyone who has any form of skin disease must make sure their hair is unkept so that people can identify you. Must put a mask over your mouth and walk around town going, unclean, unclean. Anytime anyone is nearby, you have to let people know your condition and your status. I am rejectable. I am deserving of separation. I deserve isolation. I deserve loneliness, for I am unclean and unholy. And look what it says. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. You cannot heal yourself of leprosy. And scripture says, and this society that Jesus is ministering to says, if you have this, you are bound to this life until it disappears. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. What does the camp signify? They must be separated or feel alone or feel rejected or feel like an outcast among God's people. I'm going to get to good news soon, but we're going to talk about some more bad news. So in your notes, if you're taking notes, if you're going to write those little blank spots, I broke it down to three major categories that the Jews identified to make sure we knew if you had the right condition and the right status before God and others. And those three indicators, those three categories that disqualified you was this: unclean, unholy, and unfavored. If you were any one of these things, you deserve to be separated. You deserve to be lonely. You deserve to feel like an outcast. Unclean, and under that category goes things like this: the diseased, the disabled, the demon-possessed were considered unclean. My goodness, have you ever been sick? Unholy, under that category, it would be sinners and tax collectors, religious enemies like the Samaritans, or racial enemies like Roman centurions. Unholy. And finally, the third category that made you dismissible, that made you rejectable, was unfavored. You were unfavored. How do we know you're unfavored? You're poor. In this society, if you are poor, you are considered unfavored by God. You're just not blessed. You must not be close to God. You should not be close to God. And you should definitely not be close to God's people, or we will be tainted by your unfavored life. Come on, somebody. I know you guys are like, oh my God, how do I relate to this? We're going to relate to this real soon. Another person, another category of people under unfavored, and I'm sorry to say this, but they were women at the time. So if you were poor and you were a woman, or you were a child, hello, I know you, this doesn't make sense to us, because in America, children are like little idols that we worship. Our whole life is centered around kids. But in this society, if you were a kid, you were dismissible. If you were a woman, you were dismissible. And if you were poor, you were dismissible. Come on. There are so many reasons in this culture to feel deep inside confirmation that I should be separated, isolated, and alone. All their suspicions are correct. Now, here's the problem with us, guys. Oh, before I do that, so I call this the Trinity, the unholy Trinity of rejection. It's unclean, unholy, and unfavored. Basically means you are unwanted and unloved by God and God's people. Can I get a no man? That's a no man. Some of you that are not paying attention, you're like, amen, amen. Amen to unholiness and you know, some of you, it's okay, you can sleep. Some of you guys come and sleep on Sundays. It's okay. You need the rest. And I should be hired on Calm app. Have you ever heard of Calm, the app? Anyways, all right. What are we talking about? Did you know it was pastor's appreciation? Okay, all right. So we feel separated too, and we feel alone, and we have this deep suspicion that maybe there is greater levels of intimacy and friendship that we're missing out on, and we're suspicious of that, and we know we don't want to face it. So most of our lives, we pack it with entertainment and just shallow conversations because we don't really want to face the fact that we are lonely and isolated ourselves. But the problem with the modern man or the modern woman is we don't have categories like they do. It's not clear. Like back then, if I was a leper, I mean, it's a bad situation, but at least I knew clearly why I was rejected. At least I knew for sure why I felt alone. I have a leprosy, right? And I am saying I'm a leper every day, and no wonder nobody wants to get near me. I'm very sure why I am feeling this way. The modern man, we don't know what these criterias are. We just have this ambiguous, vague feeling and this notion that we are not as close as we should be to people we love or people we like. And we feel like, gosh, I wish some people were closer to me. Nobody? I'm the only one that goes through this? I know you guys look at me, you're like, you're the epitome of friendship, PB. You're the epitome of popularity. No, I know. But if you're anything like me, you have this deep sadness of maybe there's more connection for me and for others. Or maybe I could be a gift to somebody in friendship. So I'm going to list 4 ways that we feel separated. And I'm going to make it clear for you today. Because we can't often relate to this leopard in terms of him or she feeling unqualified or unclean and unholy and unfavored, because many of us haven't grown up in a Jewish community in this century, right? We don't really feel the burden of this list. But I'm going to tell you a list that maybe you can identify with and how the gospel of Jesus Christ also deals with that kind of leprosy. Can I get an amen? You can say amen to that one. So here is our internal list. There's 4 things. And I made it so easy for you. So easy for you to remember. There are 4 little S's. The first one that makes us feel separated and alone, like this leopard, is a little thing called sin. And what do I mean by sin? I don't mean sin as in like some religious, rebellious act. What I mean by sin is mistakes. What we shouldn't have done, or what we could have done, or we know we could have done better, this guilt, this thing that looms in our hearts and minds, make us want to separate or affirm or confirm our loneliness and separation. Have you ever made mistakes? Have you ever been in a relationship where you sinned or you could have done something, or you left something undone, and you begin to feel like maybe that's why we're not as close as we should be. The Book of Common Prayer in the Anglican Church has this prayer of confession that I'll paraphrase for you, but I think it's a beautiful prayer of confession in the Book of Common Prayer. There's this part in the confession prayer that says, basically, God, forgive me for all the things that I have done that are wrong or bad, right, to you and others, but also forgive me for all the things I have yet to do or have not done that I know I should have done. I mean, you think about parents and their kids, like so many parents in this nation feeling guilty about the things that they didn't do with their children, or how much time they didn't spend, or feeling guilty about certain things that they said or certain things that they didn't say. Come on, somebody. And the dad or the mom begins to feel like the separation is deserved. And so the families fall apart and we feel lonely. Right? Scripture says it like this: your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We know from Scripture that our sins, our mistakes, things we did purposely, things we did by accident, and things we didn't even get to do that we know we should have done, we know these are the things that make us internally feel lonely and deserving of separation. The next thing that makes us feel separated and lonely is shame. Who we feel like we are, who we feel like we aren't, who we feel like we failed to measure up to be, that is shame. Jesus shows up to Peter. Jesus shows up to the disciples. And I think Pastor Isaac spoke about this the other day, when Jesus shows up and he picks his disciples and he marvels them. He astounds them by the miracle that he provides. Remember how he said, cast the net over to the other side, and then they cast it and they have this huge catch when it was not the right time of the day to catch anything. And Peter, recognizing that this is somebody special, that this is something special, that this is a moment where he feels like there's this huge door of favor being opened, where maybe he can get in to the calling and the destiny of God. And what does he say to Jesus Christ? What does he say? He says these words. Look it up. He says, "Away from me, Jesus, for I am a sinner. I'm an evildoer." I mean, think about this, guys. If it was me, and Jesus did that, and I've been waiting for Jesus, I've been waiting for Messiah all my life, and this happened, and I'm like, this dude is special. Like, I might not know if he's the Messiah, but he might be like lowercase Messiah, right? Like, he's somebody special, and he's gonna get me some access to God. He's gonna get me some favor. He's gonna get me some blessedness. He's gonna get me some healing. He's gonna get me closer to Jesus, or to God, right? This Jesus, right? Right? And then one day it would happen, and then the miracle happened. If I was Peter, I would have went, "Oh my goodness, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for this. Where are we going?" Jesus is like, "To the cross." I don't know. No. He's like, let's go do that. I'll be like, "Oh my God, there's favor on your life. You are for me one step closer to fixing my status and my condition." But what does shame do in us? Jesus could be right in front of us. Oh my, I hope you catch this. Jesus could be right in front of you, inviting you, having given you miracles and opening doors for you to transform your life, and the shame in you will make you want to isolate. The shame in you will make you want to separate. You know, many of you, COVID has really brought this shame up. Many of you have us. Many of you watching online. Sometimes we forget now. Now that we're live, I forget they're over there. So they're over there. I can't do that. So you guys have a hard time. Some of you guys, honestly, if we're honest, some of us have a hard time coming to church. I want you to think about these four things I'm listing today, because you don't have leprosy, I think, right? But you may carry one of these diseases that make you want to separate or make you feel like it's okay to feel lonely or keep disconnecting from God's presence and God's people. And part of it could be shame. You know that when the body of Christ comes together, when two or more are gathered in his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is in the midst. Come on, somebody. But why? The shame in us. I don't want to be there. I don't think he wants me there. I don't think I deserve his presence. I don't even like these people. Right? You want to move on? Number three, that makes us feel separated, that makes us feel like this leper, is the word sham. Not Shazam, Shazam? Not that movie, sham. A fraud. We feel or fear that we are a fraud, a fake, and will be found out for what we really are. The sham. Peter in Luke 22, you guys know Peter is, well, he finally follows Jesus and they're having this awesome journey together. And Peter over and over again boasts about how he will never fail Jesus, how he will never reject Christ, how he will never be disloyal. And you guys know Jesus gets arrested. Peter goes crazy and chops off one of the soldiers' ear off, and then Jesus goes, no, that's not what I'm about, picks up the ear and attaches it back. Very, very crazy moment that we overlook. And then Peter sees all this, and then the disciples realize, oh my God, following Messiah is actually a fast track to the cross. So I don't want to be a part of this kind of revolution. So Peter runs away. But Jesus talked about the fact that this thing is in you, and I still love you. And then Peter, in denial, right, thinks that he's the man, and then he denies Christ. And then what happens in Luke 22? People are like, yo, man, aren't you, this is my translation, they're like, yo, man, aren't you the one that that was following Jesus, right? And then he denies, he goes, no, and it says that he cusses, and he curses, and he's like, no, heck no, heck no. There are kids here. Heck no, right? And then it says in verse 61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Oh my God. Talk about, this is a movie. He's like, no, I'm not part of his crew. And then imagine the camera zooms right on Jesus and he goes, I told you, fool. Right? And then it says, then Peter remembered the word the Lord has spoken to him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Why is he weeping bitterly? Because he knows, man, I am a sham. Many of us during COVID began to realize that maybe not in our entirety, our whole selves, but we began to struggle with our faith. Nobody else? And during COVID, you're like, what if I'm not really a Christian? What if I'm not as devoted as I thought I was? What if I'm not as strong of a believer as I appear to be to many over the many years that I've been a Christian and have been going to church. And so COVID begins to give you a very intense rooster moment. And then COVID is dying down. It's not all the way down. That's why you gotta all wear a mask, right? And we're beginning to all come back, but there's a thing in you at home that makes you wanna stay in bed, and that thing is this thing called sham. I don't even know if I'm a legitimate follower of Jesus anymore. I'm gonna go home tonight and wonder, was the congregation loving my message? Or were they hating my message because they were so quiet? I don't know. But I will know if I preached well, because my kids that are here, Josh and Isabella, always tells me the truth. Second sermon of the Good News series, I got in the van, and the first thing Isabella and Josh said to me was, that was a horrible sermon, Dad. That's what they said. And I was like, oh, you don't know anything. And they were like, Dad, we had no clue what you were talking about. And then it was only in the last 5 minutes, you saved the day. And I was like, wow, kids, that hurt my feelings. And then I had a terrible week. But then the next one I preached, right? You guys were like, Dad! Dad! Oh, Dad! Thank God! Dad! That was a good one! Dad, do you ever worry that people will leave? Because you just mess up on certain sermons? What was I doing? Number four. So sham is number three. So sins. If you're taking notes, there should be four little blank spots there, right? Sins make us feel separated or alone, or feel like an outcast or deserving to be outcasted. Shame, the sham, and finally the scars. Aren't these great? I have to tell myself this. Scars, the wounds I've experienced, the wrongs done to me have left me deformed and disqualified for intimacy and love. In essence, we are saying, I am damaged. Look what has happened to me. Therefore, I deserve separation, alone, or therefore it is more comfortable to be separated and alone. I'm almost done, guys. But I do want to share this one, because this one, I think, speaks to a lot of us. Scars, especially if you've been in the Christian journey a long time, scars, you will have many. When I was really young, at the age of 19, very charismatic, just a powerhouse of a leader, recruited me into ministry. And I remember around the age of 17 to 19, I had such an intimate relationship with Jesus. But I want to say something to you. Having a relationship with Jesus is the most beautiful thing in life and the most dangerous thing in life. And for me, the reason why it was so dangerous is because I found the closer I got to him, the louder his voice got. And what do I mean by that? The closer I got to him, the clearer I can hear the call of God on my life. And I was like, this is scary, right? Because you're asking me to do things that I don't want to do. And then I decided to obey. When you fall in love with Jesus, and in this walk with God, you find that this is not just some romantic relationship with this being, right? No, he's our Lord. He demands obedience. So I'm getting closer to him, and then I hear him, and I'm trying my best to respond. And then one of the ways I responded was to submit to Christian leadership and churches. And if you have been a Christian, if you've just been a Christian 1 year, maybe 2 years, you will find yourself getting wounded. And my first mentor had a major moral failure. And I've never talked about this publicly. Now, what's interesting is I didn't find out while I was with him. I found out a little later. But I decided to leave that ministry. And I remember after leaving the ministry, I was like mid-20s. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. The last thing I ever wanted to do was become a pastor. The last thing I ever wanted to do was be part of a church. Because I found that Jesus and church is a package. And I was like, Jesus, I like you, but I don't like your church. And then Jesus is like, you can't have me without my body. Does this make sense to you guys? And then I was like, but your body keeps wounding me, especially those that I look up to and love. And so I don't want to get close to you. It's so funny because I hear so many young, especially, this is how I know when a pastor is a young, ambitious pastor, because they're always like, PB, can you pray for me? And I would like, what do you want me to pray about? And they're like, I pray for a vision. And I go, wow. Because for me, every vision comes with death. Right? And lots of wounds. And so I go, oh, you young Jedi, right? You're wanting vision. Did you know that after like my mid-20s, I literally stopped asking God to speak to me? I know you guys are like, Pastor Brian, you're my pastor. I don't want to hear this from you. I want to tell you why. Because I knew the voice of God brought me closer to God, and bringing me closer to God brings me closer to the body of Christ. And then the body of Christ, full of humans, begins to mess with me. So in my 20s, I used to say, Lord, I just want to know that I'm good, as in like if I die, I'm going to be in your presence, but I don't want you to speak to me. This is what I used to say to him. And then in my mid-20s, he spoke to me about this church. And then I said, I hate you. You guys think I'm kidding. And then Michelle and I started this church 13 years ago, which is what we're celebrating soon. And do you know that 13 years is marked by more wounds than victory? So everything in me, my scars make me not want to get close. I don't want to get close to you, honestly. But I do because I love you. You're like, PB, I don't want to get close to you either. Ready. All right, so let's land this plane. So how is this good news? PB, what the heck? I thought this message was about good news. We're going to make it really good soon, okay? How is this good news? Okay. Notice this man, he doesn't ask God or Jesus. This leper comes to him. Now we're back to the original text, okay? Jesus, we're going in a full circle now, okay, guys? Okay? This guy, this leper comes to Jesus. He doesn't say, Jesus, if you are holy, you can make me clean. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, if you are God, you can make me clean. You see, the question for the Jews at this time, and the question for especially the leper at this time, the question is not the question that you and I have. You and I have questions like, are you real? You and I have questions like, if you're real, if you're good, how come bad things happen? You know, all these modern questions. The Jews at this time are not asking this question. The Jews at this time are not asking, are you holy? Are you so holy that I'm worth being separated from? That's not a question that they have. They already know that's true. Are you God? Do you exist? That's not a question that they're asking. They already believe in Yahweh, in God. The question that they're asking is the question that this man is asking. Are you willing? Are you different? Are you loving? Even though I have this status and this condition, are you different? So he says, Lord, if you are willing, and if I can do a PB translation, it will be God, if you're compassionate, God, if you're loving, God, if you care, God, if you're different, God, if you're willing, you can get rid of all the stuff that makes me feel isolated and separated from God and from the world. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, and he said, I am willing, be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, see that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And we are wondering, what are you talking about? Jesus, you just healed this man. He needs to go and testify. He needs to do a commercial. He needs to go on YouTube and do a YouTube live. He needs to do something. He needs to share. Why not share? Why are you telling him to go to the priest? Leviticus 13 tells us, if the disease on the skin seems to be fading away, Leviticus 13 says, the priest is to examine them again, examine the lepers, okay? If the sore has faded and has not spread in the skin, the priest shall pronounce them clean. It is only a rash. They must wash their clothes and they will be clean. Why did Jesus say, I am willing, be clean? And then the first thing he tells him to do is, now go show yourself to the priest. What is he doing? Everyone in this culture knows what he's doing, especially when he says, now go offer the thing that Moses commanded. What is he saying? Go declare, be bold, go and be told by the priest that you are clean. And when you are told by the priest that you are clean, your status and your condition has publicly and internally changed. And you no longer have to walk around like a spiritual or physical leper. You don't have to be okay with isolation and loneliness and separation, sham, shame, sin. Come on, somebody. You don't have to live like this anymore. Go and show yourself to the priest. And then once the priest tells you this, the priest is going to tell you, wash your clothes. Why? Because the world will see that you have transformed. You are different. Christians, before I end today, I want to say something to you. I'm not saying Christians can't feel lonely. I'm not saying Christians can't go through depression. I'm not saying Christians can't feel isolated at times. But the reality and the good news of this good news is that we have no reason to feel separated. Because the truth of the gospel is all four things have been canceled. All four S's have been dealt with. So you either live by faith, even when you feel the four things creeping up in you. Come on, somebody. Or you choose not to live in the faith of the gospel and go revert back to a life of separation and loneliness. Which will it be? What do you want? This church doesn't need, I know some of you are like, this church, I've heard some newcomers say this, PB Echo is like really the most hospitable church. And sometimes I'm like, really? Are people? No, I'm just kidding. No, some of you guys are the most hospitable people. And some of you guys have found your best friends here and you guys feel close. Some of you guys feel really distant, really separated, really isolated here, but you still come, okay? Can I say something to you? We don't have to ever feel separated. We're all lepers that just got healed. We're all outside the inner circle having to say and shout, I am a leopard, I am unclean. All of us here, nobody here, I want you to look at everyone here. Nobody here was never not a leper. The good news is not just that you got cleaned and cleansed of your leprosy. The good news is that you're sitting next to people who are cleansed by God. So you do not need to fear intimacy here. Do you hear me? Somebody asked me recently, you know, Heidi and I do this podcast that maybe like two people listen to. I'm just kidding. A lot of people listen to it, okay? Calm down. Okay, a lot of people. Somebody said, and we got this a lot, like, wow, Pastor Brian, I've never heard a pastor get so vulnerable on a podcast. I never thought, aren't you afraid? Aren't you? And they're basically saying, aren't you afraid of rejection? And I tell them, I'm trying to live by faith that I live amongst a community that will accept my brokenness. Because I've been set free and cleansed by Jesus Christ. And I have presented myself to the priest, and the priest said, I'm clean. And so are you. So stop hiding. Stop separating. Where did this all go, PB? Where did all of our sins, shame, and scars go? And I close with this verse. Isaiah says, do we have music? It'd be nice to do a music right here, and I fade in. Like you fade in right here. Like, ooh, you feel that? You feel that? You know, I listen to this music when I prepare sermons. That's why it's so anointed. Isaiah says, so I'm going to answer this question. PB, that's great, but where did it all go? Where did the leprosy go? Where did my shame go? Where did my sham go? Right? Where did my sins go? Where did my scars go? Like, where does it go? Where does it literally go? Do I just believe it's gone? I just have to have positive thinking. It's gone. The good news is positive thinking. No. It went somewhere. And I'm going to tell you where it went. Isaiah says, he's talking about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. He took on our loneliness. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and we have thought him as it were a leper. We have thought him as if he was a leper, and as one struck by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Where did it go? It went on him. The good news is not Jesus is giving us a positive talk about feeling better about ourselves when we know we're still unclean and unholy. Come on, I hope you guys catch this. Jesus took all of it and got rejected himself for us. so that all the boldness and acceptance that he had with the Father, he gave that to us. He gave that to us. That's the good news of the gospel. May you live boldly. May you live boldly. May you live close to the Father the way Jesus was close to the Father, because he paid for it. Do we have our communion cups? So let's do that, yeah? Thank you. I want you to know, I want you to hold the wafer for a second that represents his body. His body, as Isaiah says, it was crushed. It was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, all those statuses and conditions that make us feel separated were gone. So I want you to do something with me today. I want you to take this body that symbolizes his body, or this bread that symbolizes his body, and I want you to break it. As you break it, I want you to believe and know that he broke for you. He broke for you. Let's take the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the juice represents the blood. We have thought him as it were, as he were a leper, afflicted by God. But by his wounds we are healed. Let's receive the blood of our Lord. Let's pray. Come before him like the leper and ask him. Don't ask him, are you real? You know? Don't ask him some weird questions about, you know, I don't know, modern questions that really are irrelevant. I want you to ask him the question that this man is asking. Are you willing? Do you love me? Do you see me? Do you see all the things that make me feel alone and separated? Some done to me, others I have done myself. Oh God, heal me, touch me. Father, I pray for marriages here. I pray for all the couples in this church. I pray that couples that may feel alone or feel like they could be greater friends, I pray for your healing. I pray that you would erase the lie of the enemy that says they're still living in that shame and sham, that they're still sinners that can't be unforgiven. I ask you to break that lie. May these couples unite in the blood and the body of our Savior. I want to pray, Lord, for every member, every person that comes to our church, even online, those watching online that are struggling with feeling like a leopard or just feel like it's just better to be separated. I pray for healing. We all long for love, Lord. We all long to belong. Will you make us bold again? Will you help us see that in you, we are a gift to the community? Mm. And I bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May Christ be victorious in your lives. Amen.